Oh, no, my name is Larry Robertson. I'm the Anglican Bishop of the Yukon. And I come to you in the name of our primate, the head of the Anglican Church of Canada, Archbishop Fred Hilt. On February, the 11th of this month of July, we met in Vancouver, members from all over Canada, our General Synod, and he gave this apology to the Indigenous people of Canada, and it's called Apology for the Spiritual Harm that We Have Caused. And if you would permit me, I would like to read it to you. For a number of years, since the Indigenous Covenant of 1994, there has been a call for the apology for spiritual abuse endured by Indigenous peoples through the era of colonial expansion across the land, and particularly through the era of the Indian residential schools. In the apology to survivors of the residential schools delivered in August 6, 1993, Archbishop Michael Pierce expressed his remorse on behalf of the Anglican Church of Canada that we tried to remake you in our own image. Today, I offer this apology for our cultural and spiritual arrogance towards the Indigenous people, the First Nations, the Inuit and Métis, and the harm we inflicted upon you. I do this at the desire of many across the Church, at the call of the Anglican Council of Indigenous Peoples, and at the request and with the authority of the Council of the General Synod. I confess our sin in failing to acknowledge that as First Peoples living here for thousands of years, you had a spiritual relationship with the Creator and with the land. We did not care enough to learn how your spirituality has always infused your governance, social structures, and family life. I confess our sin in demonizing Indigenous spirituality and in belittling the traditional teachings of your grandmothers and grandfathers preserved and passed down through the elders. I confess the sin of our arrogance in dismissing Indigenous spiritualities and disciplines as incompatible with the gospel of Jesus, and insisting there is no place for them in the Christian worship. I confess our sin in acts such as smothering the smudges, forbidding the pipes, stopping the drums, hiding the mass, destroying totem poles, silencing the song, stilling the dances, and banning the potlatches. With deep remorse, I acknowledge the intergenerational spiritual harm caused by our actions. I confess our sin in declaring the teachings of the medicine wheel to be pagan and primitive. I confess our sin in robbing your children and youth of the opportunity to know their spiritual ancestry and the great wealth of wisdom and guidance for living in a good way with the Creator, the land, and all peoples. For such shameful behavior, I am very sorry. We were so full of our own self-importance. We followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We were ignorant. We were insensitive. We offended you. We offended the Creator. As we look to you today, we have come to acknowledge our need to repent. As we turn to God, we say, we have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. I know an important part of repentance is sincere lament, and that an important part of lament is our intention to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in God's holy ways. With humility, I ask our church to turn to the Creator seeking guidance and steadfastness of will in our efforts to help heal the spiritual wounds we inflicted. Let us commit ourselves to learning how traditional indigenous practices contribute to healing and to honor them. I remind our church of our solemn responsibility to honor the calls to action from Canada's Truth and Reconciliation Commission, notably call number 60. We call on leaders of the church parties to the settlement agreement and all other faiths, in collaboration with Indigenous spiritual leaders, survivors, schools of theology, seminaries, and other religious teaching centers, to develop and teach curriculum for all student clergy and all clergy and staff who work in Aboriginal communities, on the need to respect Indigenous spirituality in its own right, the history and legacy of residential schools, and the roles of the church parties in that system, the history and legacy of religious conflict in Aboriginal families and communities, and the responsibility that churches have to mitigate such conflicts and prevent spiritual violence. I also remind our church in our solemn responsibility to honor General Synod's 2001 public endorsement of the United Nations Declaration to the Rights of Indigenous People. Article 12 declares Indigenous people have the right to manifest, practice, develop, and teach their spiritual religious traditions, customs and ceremonies, the right to maintain, protect, and have access and privacy to their religious and cultural sites, the right to use and control of their ceremonial objects, and the right to repatriation of their human remains. Article 25 declares Indigenous people have the right to manifest, practice, develop, and teach their spiritual religious traditions, customs, and ceremonies. The right to maintain, protect, and have access and privacy to their religious and cultural sites, and to control their ceremonial objects. Indigenous people have the right to maintain and strengthen their distinctive spiritual relationship with their traditionally owned and otherwise occupied and used lands, territories, waters, and coastal seas, and other resources, and to uphold their responsibility to future generations in this regard. I call the whole church to pray for the vision keepers commissioned by General Synod in 2062, to hold our church accountable in respecting the rights of Indigenous peoples to be self-determining. I call our bishops, clergy, and lay leaders to draw elders into conversation regarding the practices of the past. At one time, we banned expressions of indigenous spirituality in Christian worship. Having seen the error of our ways, we are now encouraging such expression. Many of the elders have followed the former ban out of loyalty to a church they love. Many of these have at the same time kept alive the values, ideals, and teachings of their own elders. Today, they are an essential guide both to the underlying teachings that have embodied in the practice of the past, as well as the teaching of their own faith. Today, we ask them with great respect to help guide us to honor the wisdom and practice of the past and to live into a truly indigenous expression of our faith in the future. I have heard a number of elders speak of how the children and youth of this generation and the seven to come are in great need of the opportunity to be guided in a spirituality that is true to their indigenous identity. Let us stand with the elders in encouraging the youth to lay claim to that spirituality as their right and their pursuit of health and happiness. I ask the whole church to be extraordinarily generous in building up of the Anglican Healing Fund and its support for initiatives that advance the healing of language and cultural abuse, oppression, and the intergenerational trauma and learning of traditional knowledge and culture. This is in the effort to further deepen one's understanding of the spiritual ways of celebrating Indigenous identity and embracing the reality that Indigenous peoples can enjoy everything God created them to be. I call on the whole church to faithfully endorse the Anglican Council of Indigenous Peoples' intention to move forward with their plan for ministry, shaped by the teaching of the elders, gospel-based discipleship, and a commitment to prophetic pastoral care rooted in wholeness and in teaching Indigenous community freedom and joy. Finally, I call us to renew our commitment to our baptismal covenant, especially our vow to strive for justice and peace among all peoples and respect the dignity of every human being. In living this vow in a good way, let us embrace the seven grandfather teachings: love, respect, truth, honesty, wisdom, courage, and humility. I offer this apology in the name of Jesus Christ, the great pain bearer and peacemaker. I have hope through him that we will be able to walk together in newness of life. The Most Reverend Fred Hiltz, Primate of the Anglican Church of Canada. And if I could add my name to that, Bishop Larry Robertson, Bishop of the Anglican Church of the Diocese of Yukon. Thank you.
Hey! Now, we're gonna...
Take it over again.